It makes me sleepy. I don't want to be heartbroken.
Glad you called in.
Bob. Lloyd Graham.
Hey, Lloyd. Before we go down the roll, well, I've got a minute. No, we can go ahead and start, I think. It's a minute before.
David Hodgins.
All right. I'll go ahead and call it the meeting to order. The TCEQ, Tax Relief for Pollution Control Property Advisory Committee. And in the room, all the members are here except Mike, Lloyd, and Cyrus. So I've got Lloyd on there. But before any other others tell me who's on the phone, any other members, advisory committee members? Okay, I guess not. So Mike Brakefield. Anyone else that wants to tell us who's on the phone, you're welcome to.
Mike Ford is on the phone.
Okay, good, Mike. All right, we definitely have a quorum. So, anyone else? I'll give you a minute. All right, as usual, I'll state our public policy. It's a little bit loose. We welcome input from the audience or those on the phone. The only thing is we don't have a packed agenda today, but we do want to, we have a reasonable time rule, so we do want your input. So any other comments from any members before we get started? All right, I think there's a couple that need to leave a little early, so we'll try to get through. We'll try to make this efficient, and those of us that can stay, if it wants to stay longer, that's fine too. But I'll go ahead and go to item number two then on the status. Could someone from the commission give us a status on the appointments? Our reappointments.
Okay. Hi, Shelley Nike, TCEQ Tax Relief Program. We received 7 applications for the 6 positions that are expiring in January. Sorry. The commission is scheduled to consider the nominations at the December 9th agenda, so in a couple weeks. November 20th, which is this Friday, is the scheduled backup date for those recommendations to be made public.
Okay.
Are there any other questions?
So Friday is the public date?
Yes.
Okay, it'll be on your website?
I know it'll go on the agenda website, and we can also put it on our Hot Topics page whenever that's available.
Okay.
Bob, if I may.
Yes.
We have 7 applications for 6 slots.
That's
yes,
correct.
Is that what I understood?
Right.
For which slot do we have 2 applications?
Industry.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
That's a relevant question. Good. All right, I will go on to item number 3, election of a 2016 chairman. And as I said before, I'm not running for office, but I'm available. I will not be offended in the least if we talk about another one. Also, as I asked before the meeting, the reason I asked how many were appointed are on the list for the commissioners to list or vote on, rather, is the possibility that somebody might want to vote on the chairman in next year, since they're new. But that doesn't look like that's very likely, and it seems like it'd be only one vote anyway. So I will defer to the committee if they want to vote now or later.
So can I assume, Bob, that are you one of the slots that's open, or are you
no.
one of the slots that's not open?
Not open, no.
I don't know. It seems it makes some sense to schedule this after the appointment cycle, but I hope the result's no different.
Sherry, would you remind us who is rolling off? Or I could try it by memory, but I would probably miss it.
All right, there's 6 terms expiring in January. Paul Kuhn, Lloyd Graham, Don Lee, Greg Maxim, Mike Nazzi, and Cyrus Reed. Paul Kuhn, Lloyd Graham, Don Lee, Greg Maxim, Mike Nazzi, and Cyrus Reed.
Who is the end?
Say it again.
Who is the industry representative that's rolling off?
There's two, Greg Maxim and Mike Dazzy.
But
thank you.
Are you guys reapplying?
Mm-hmm. Right, all six reapplied.
Yeah.
That's right. What about?
So the only difference is going to be in one. It's not like we have six new folks coming on.
And they may not be.
Right.
Friends. Right. So
I agree with Bob. I don't think it would hurt to go ahead and vote because it would only be one person different, possibly.
What do you need?
I'm not pushing this.
What do you need to move forward? What do we need to move forward and have an election now?
Nominate.
It's on the agenda. I think all we need is nominations and nominations to close, and we take a vote.
I'll nominate Bob.
I second it.
All right.
I'll thank him for his work and service and leadership.
Absolutely.
All right. We have a nomination for Bob Adair and from Don Lee and second by Greg Maxim. Any other discussion? Any other nominations? All right. We'll call for a vote. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. That was kind of loud. Do we need to have a roll call vote? So, all right. I'll make a note right quick. I'll mention Don in a second. Great. All right. We'll move on to number four. And by the way, Mike Nassi is not called in yet, right? He is stranded in Denver in a snowstorm. He was supposed to be here. So that's kind of
a resident guy here.
Yeah, he got out early. Yeah,
right. Do we accept this excuse from Mike because of this evidence that potentially is?
Yes. So I don't know that we have anything to – no one mentioned anything to me or sent me anything on item number four. I looked at the meeting minutes from the last time, and it said that someone – we were waiting to review this further, pending more wordsmithing on the item, so we don't have that right now. We can discuss any of it if you want. I do have one thing for old business that I should have put on the agenda.
Well, without having a revised something to look at, I'm not sure we have anything to discuss on that. So,
okay. All right. We can just have a no vote. I don't know if we necessarily need a
no. Just
we just don't need any action at all.
Okay.
Of course, there's some esteemed experts in the audience that might have comments or ideas that.
That's a good point.
We ought to.
We will gladly take comments from the audience, especially if anyone made the trip here. Okay. We might have another opportunity because. We'll go ahead and go to old business, and the one thing I forgot to put on the agenda was rulemaking. We're in that 3-year cycle, so we've talked about it before, and we don't have anything in front of us that I know of as far as proposed rulemaking, but we should have had a longer discussion on this today on rulemaking, or at least a review of Tier 1.
Bob, can we hear from staff where we are in the rulemaking process,
okay,
what
sure.
might be changing from their perspective.
Sure. All right. Ron answered in one word. We'll see how long she goes.
This is Shelley Mike again. There's currently no proposed rulemaking, and we haven't received any petitions for rulemaking, so there's nothing planned right now.
But we are in our 3-year cycle, right, where we're supposed to review it. I thought I remember that from a meeting or two ago.
We are in a three-year cycle for review, but if we're not recommending changing either the Tier 1 table or the expedited review list, we don't need to do rulemaking. We just need to make the statement that we've reviewed the list and there are no updates.
Okay. I have heard some concern from applicants about the Tier 1 list, and I'll be glad to hear from, and I basically told them, well, we're close to the time to review those points. No one here from industry is here to speak on that, but I'll be glad to just say, for example, there was concern about taking some of the, and I don't have a specific in mind, but a partial, just because it's less than 100%. They didn't think that was valid to take it off just because we didn't know, no longer knew how it was calculated. I think that was the explanation. But if you guys have any complaints, comments from anyone else that you want to bring to us, now we're just starting this review. So
can I ask for a clarification on your statement? So the comment was that you received was, hey, these things we know are clearly pollution control, and they ought to stay on Tier 1 so that we can go through the easier, cheaper process, even though it's not 100%.
Right.
And so they're saying, you know, give it a number and put 75% or 50%. And
well, or they think I would say with some justification, not just pick a number, but yeah.
Right. But go through and have the Tier 1 say, these are 50%. And these type things used this way are 75%.
Yeah, their point was Tier 1 is now only 100%.
Right.
And it used to be include some items that were less than 100%. And they thought that was valid. So that was the only point I raised up.
Do we want to, well, do you want to talk about it more now? Because we could ask the staff of how we got to excluding the partials.
That'd probably be a good reminder. If the staff wants, kind of putting them on the spot now, I guess. Ron or someone else has
been
here.
Aren't they used to that?
Yeah.
When we looked at the list the last time?
When we looked at the list the last time, which was 4 years ago maybe, and we adopted it, we removed the items on it that were partials, because the analysis that had been done to originally make those partial percentages were several years out of date. And there weren't a lot of items. One of them was the something to do with gas turbines, and it was at 20%. And Caterpillar had originally done that calculation for us and justified that percentage. We went back to Caterpillar and asked them to redo it. They told us that there wasn't a set percentage that they could do, that it now varied by engine size because the work varied by engine size. Previously, you did the same thing to every engine to make them low NOx. And that was one reason. As we looked at the other items that were partials, we couldn't find anybody in industry or any of the industry groups that could tell us that those were valid percentages anymore.
If
while we're doing a review of the Tier 1 table, if somebody can present information that actually shows that every time this item's used for this purpose, we would be willing to look at possibly adding partial percentages back on.
So, sounds to me like it really isn't a philosophical position of saying we won't have partials on Tier 1. We just don't have any right now that fit.
Correct.
That's a good clarification.
Now, the ones that received a 75% are still receiving that 75%.
If they're still in use, they would still be receiving whatever that partial percentage was.
Right.
And by taking them off the list didn't make them ineligible for a positive determination. It just requires that they do a Tier 3 application or justify that part of it's 100%. And we do Tier 2 applications, which are 100% pollution control, not on the list, for specific parts of a piece of equipment that are determined to be pollution control. So on the compressor engine one, you might not automatically get your 20%, but you could do a Tier 2 if you could show that this piece of equipment was added to this that's not on the Tier 1 table, but it's 100% pollution control.
I had a question on a lot of those that used to be less than 100% that was on the Tier 1 list. A lot of those got converted over to 100% of the incremental cost difference. Why were lean burn engines not treated that way instead? They were completely removed.
Primarily because the industry told us that they no longer produce lean burn engines that are that way. The newer engines at gas compression stations are designed with add-on controls, and the add-on controls are on the Tier 1 table.
I still see quite a few that have the lean burn model that still get deployed. I was just curious.
Yeah, but
that was from our discussions with Caterpillar and within the industry.
Okay. I'm still seeing a lot of lean burn engines being installed.
But that's a good point, that a lot of items were converted to incremental cost difference, so there's still a 100% determination on a Tier 1 table, but it's only for the cost difference, the additional money spent for the pollution control, and the calculations right in the application on how to do that. So you don't have to do a Tier 3 for an application. You've got a piece of equipment that's on the list, but it's not 100%. You can do that Tier 3. It's basically the same as a Tier 3 calculation without marketable product.
Is it? I filed an application a couple years ago where it was 100% of the incremental cost difference, but it was allowed to go through as a Tier 2. Is that something other?
If it wasn't on the list.
If it wasn't on the list.
Then it's a Tier 2.
Okay.
But if it's on the list, then you can do it as a Tier 1 for incremental cost difference.
I was just kind of, clarifying that if it's incremental cost difference that's not on the list, you can do Tier 2 instead of Tier 3.
You can do Tier 2, okay. Yeah.
Okay. While we're here, any other discussions on Tier 1 or any other part of the rules? Again, I realize this was not on the agenda, so we didn't have a lot of time to think about it.
Bob, does that answer your concern that it's still possible to put those partial items on list 1? Are you proposing any further action, or does that satisfy
that you? Answers my question. I will just have to push back that it's basically on someone else to prove up that there's a consistent percentage.
Yeah, bring us examples, and yeah, the right. Staff is willing to, sounds like they're willing to consider them for recommendation, and I don't have any philosophical issue against it.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion?
Want anything?
Pardon?
On anything or?
Anything. We're in the old business, new business. So anything.
What about getting an update from the staff on the status of all that litigation that came out of the events of last year around heat recovery steam generators?
Perfect. This is Don Redmond with
the
TCQ.
Your mic's not on.
Don Redmond with the TCQ. I think we have 12 different lawsuits related to the appeal of the HRSG applications. Those lawsuits have not been consolidated. I believe they've been assigned to 5 different judges in Travis County. The one that's been scheduled that's on the most recent timescale, the briefs have been filed, and there's a hearing scheduled for December 16th.
Which one was that?
Those are the Brazos Electric Cooperative, and those two have been consolidated for hearing. All the other schedules are either not yet established or later in 2016.
Do you know what type of hearing they're having? Is it kind of a pretrial status type of thing? And I'm not a lawyer, so I'm going to use the wrong words here. But pretrial status, or are they into the heart of the issue?
It's a hearing on the merits.
Do you remember if that was filed under Tier 4 or Tier 3 at that time? I'm just curious.
Those were both Tier 3 applications.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions or any other knowledge we should try to secure from TCQ while we're here? All right. It appears this might be a short meeting. Any other old business or new business? Charles, you're welcome to talk for an hour. You came from Denver. I'm sorry.
Well, I said that this one is probably, it's not on the agenda, but, you know, talking to some people out in the industry that are filing some of these applications that are struggling to get through the process. I did a project this year where I had a plant engineer and their environmental manager had been trying to get through the program on a wastewater project for 2 years, and somehow they were struggling with the deficiency requests. Not exactly sure why. When I read them, you know, it seemed like, you know, it should have been able to comply, but in the end, I wound up taking over the project and was able to provide all the information and get it approved. I was just kind of wondering if it would be possible to maybe look at some sample applications that have gotten through without a deficiency letter and maybe kind of compare that to the current guidance document to see if there's a disconnect there. With the staff's help, you know, they help me, you know, get my applications in order to make sure I'm including everything that they need to see to make their judgment. But maybe some of the other applicants out there at large, you know, don't quite fully understand what they need to turn in.
Do you want to comment on that now, or are you going to think about it? No pressure.
We could make some approved applications available online for people to look at. We did a training yesterday. We posted it online. We sent out the Gov delivery. We did an email to every person who's filed an application in the last, I think it was 2 years. We had 8 people show up to do the training. Now, we videotaped the training, and that training will end up online so people can watch it. One of the handouts was a sample application that had been completed correctly, had all the right answers, explanations on how. A second handout on one page had the meat of the application, the description, the rule, the environmental benefit, completed incorrectly, and then you flipped it over and you got a better version of it so that you can compare and contrast what it is we're looking for. But for now, I would direct those people towards we did the training last year, the PowerPoints are out there online. Within a month, we'll have this training for them to watch online, and it'll answer a lot of those questions. Over half the almost hour-long training was, how do you respond to an entity? What it is we're looking for when we ask you for your rule? We tell you your rule citation's wrong. How do you respond to that? Where do you find a better rule? What questions do you answer and how to answer them? Other than that, I'm surprised anybody's really struggling with our NODs. We try to make them easy to understand, and we're available. I mean, all you got to do is call us and ask us a question, and we can help you through it.
Thanks, Ron. Any other comments on any issue? I really don't ask that because we're already close to the end.
Well, I was about to move we adjourn since nobody has any other issues.
All right, I don't want to move that too quickly, but one more chance. All right, we have a motion. We have a motion from Wayne and a second from, sounds like, Mike Ford. Is that correct?
I just want to let y'all know I'm still listening.
All right, good. All right, well, all right, we have a motion to adjourn. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
Aye.
All right. Thanks, guys. I think we may have set a record here.